Today on the show, put on your Sunday best because Lore Party's taking you to church. Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and universes behind our favorite video games. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Connor.
And today we are talking about the good word in the fantastical world material realm and many realms beyond of Tamriel.
That's right. Get ready to testify. We're spreading the good word of the Aedra, the Deidra. We're going to explain what the heck those things are, even.
The might of Talos, the mighty tribunal.
That's right. Yeah, it's so insane how many just deities and mythical figures there are throughout Elder Scrolls lore. Bruce, I think when you and I started planning these episodes, I think we made it very clear to each other, Elder Scrolls is just absolutely bonkers with materials of legend, the thing of myth, the creation myths that drive everything, just the amount of stories there are to tell. It's mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah. I love that it's a very lived-in universe, Tamriel, but it's also a very diverse one. But they don't really shy away from that when it comes to the different religions and, sects, even within the same kind of religion where you can kind of believe in the same thing, but then have these stark differences in the different beliefs that you have and these schisms, and that really make it seem like a real religion where people fight each other over benign differences in their deities.
Right.
So they got that down pat.
Yeah, the real world bled into Tamriel a little bit there. Like what's so interesting to me, what's fascinating is that there's sort of this commonly accepted collection of myths and beliefs that sort of drive the world, but in that world, different cultures, different groups of people sort of take different things from that core mythos. There's like things that everyone sort of acknowledges, but cultures and, like you said, different divergent sects of the same philosophies kind of branch off into a bunch of different distinct belief systems. I always found that really fascinating. And yeah, that is like real life. Just different groups of people will have different perspectives on things, including Aedra and Deidra. Those are terms that, if you've played the Elder Scrolls games, you've heard the terms Aedra and Deidra before. And maybe not. It's not entirely explained what those two things are, but that's what we're going to get into, sort of the definitions, but also the way that different cultures throughout Elder Scrolls history have interpreted those things.
Yeah, this is a lore within this lore that is very much exposed in passing. There's some, significant side quests and maybe some like main antagonists who are like Daedric princes that, you tussle with, but they seem like it's that very self-contained when you then take a step back and look at all these different Aedra and Deidra, how they help you, how they hurt you, how they are very complacent or indifferent to your suffering. There's a lot going on, but I really like the Aedra and Deidra. It's very much the Christianity of Tamriel, where it's very much a mainstream, dominant culture that is also, at least acknowledged to be very, very, I guess, true.
Yeah, it's it is funny how you do interact with Deidric princes throughout many of the games, and it's easy to just look at these figures and you hear about the Aedra too, the Nine Divines. We'll get into them in a bit more detail later. They're a big example. You hear these things and you just think, oh, those are gods. Those are just okay. Yeah, that's simple enough. I can understand that they are just the gods of this world, but it. Like we mentioned, it gets wackier than that, way wackier, because Elder Scrolls lore is wacky to the max, and there's like this huge, weird, big story behind them.
Oh, it totally fucking is, and it's got that like fey medieval kind of wacky, crazy mythology then turned on its head.
Right.
And you see that in its first like creation myth of Tamriel and the world and the material plane. It's called Nirn, kind of known as like just Mundus.
Yeah, Nirn is basically like the planet that the games take place on. You know, you hear Tamriel. Tamriel is not the world. Tamriel is actually a continent. Tamriel is sort of like, it's like Europe or North America. It's a continent. But there's a wider world that Tamriel is in called, like you said, Nirn. Yeah, so it's also known as Mundus or the mortal plane. And yeah, as far as I understand, Nirn didn't always exist, but the potential for it did. And like any good creation myth, there's a bit of speculation involved. There's kind of a, it's not entirely clear, but what the people of Tamriel seem to understand is that Nirn was created by a collection of quote unquote original spirits. These spirits were known as the Et'Ada. And it's said that Nirn was created when one of the Et'Ada, a spirit named Lorcan, sort of either played a prank on, sort of convinced, sort of persuaded, in some way or another, Lorcan convinced a bunch of his other fellow Et'Ada spirits to basically spend their immortality. The original spirits were kind of always there. They were sort of swimming around in the primordial ooze of creation. But yeah, when they coalesced into the group of spirits, the Et'Ada, one of them, Lorcan, the mastermind, he thought, what if we just, wouldn't it be crazy? Guys, I dare you. I double dog dare you to create a planet. I don't think you can. Like, maybe he reverse psychology to them or something, but yeah, in some way or another, Lorcan got other Et'Ada to basically sacrifice their immortality to create Nirn, the planet.
You know what? I think they were just fucking bored as hell. We've been swimming in this like abyssal ether for what seems like eons. I would kill myself to make a new beautiful reality where anything is possible.
Yeah, man. But to be fair, to Lorcan's credit, he didn't just get the other Et'Ada to do this. He kind of he took part. He actually gave his essence to create Mundus, the mortal plane, Nirn. In fact, sort of a cosmically powerful relic known as the Heart of Lorcan still exists in Tamriel. It was the remains of his divine spark, his life essence. It kind of fell to Earth, so to speak, and it's still there. So, you know, to his credit, he did the dirty work too.
He put his money where his mouth was.
Exactly.
So after that, Nirn is kind of slowly populated. The Et'Ada are, you know, a collection of, when I say deities after Nirn was created, like they
sort of, yeah.
But after a while, they kind of become not downgraded, but just because there's less power, and that like a lot of it's kind of being diverted to Nirn and to the mortal plane. There's like, you know, they give up their mortality and they start to become part of the population. Humans tend to think of some of them as gods and demons. A lot of the Mer races, you know, the Altmer and the Wood Elves, High Elves, tend to think of them as just different Aedra and Daedra. And that's kind of where this starts to become what we kind of know now as that kind of mainstream Aedra and Daedra religion.
Right. Yeah. So that's, yeah, like you said, that's kind of how the primordial spirits that created the world are then turned into religious figures. Yeah, the gods, demons, Aedra, Daedra, these are the terms that the mortal races that live on Nirn sort of ascribe to the Et'Ada. And what's interesting to point out is that in the Aldmeri language, the language of the High Elves, the words Aedra and Daedra mean our ancestors and not our ancestors, respectively. So that sort of describes their relationship with these higher beings. Like the Aldmer look at the Aedra and think, that's what we came from. Those are our ancestors. And they look at the Daedra and they think, that's not us, that we have nothing to do with them. They are not our ancestors. But where does that distinction come from? Like, what separates Aedra and Daedra? Well, that's what we'll get into next. So, you know, like the stories of the creation of Nirn itself, some of the stories around the Aedra and the Daedra are a little conflicted as well. Like, again, it's all kind of open to interpretation, like any religion, really.
Right. You can take these with a grain of salt, but when they are preaching this in the choir, they're saying that the Aedra are those Aedata that were giving their mortality, or sorry, their immortality to create Nirn, and that some return to the void, becoming different stars or, you know, creating life on Nirn, and some just completely gave up their tangible forms to be the different laws of the universe. But then the Daedra are said to still be remnants of the Aedata spirits, and we're just like, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. That's stupid.
Some say that the Aedra created the mortal races, but some other people think that, you know, the first men, the first elves, the first beast folk, they just kind of wandered into Nirn from other planes of existence. That's another point of contention. That's another thing that's up for interpretation. But suffice to say, the Daedra were, they came to be considered the anti-Aedra, like sort of the opposite. And that leads to the Aldmer seeing them as sort of the dark reflection of their ancestors, if that makes sense. So getting into this core concept we're exploring here today about how the different Aedra, Daedra, higher beings, what have you, are interpreted and seen differently by the mortal races. That's true even of just individual Daedric princes, because some Daedric princes are revered, they're respected, they're like sort of heroes, they're folk heroes to some cultures on Tamriel, while others are feared and, you know, rightfully so, because they are not friendly. So the Daedra kind of have their own individual personalities almost, and they're, and therefore they have different followings that crop up around them in various religious circles on Nirn.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Just kind of, again, it's this duality, of course, but the Aedra are simply the Jedi, the light side, where it's very passive and it's about creation and the preservation of life. But the Daedra are very much the Sith. They're very much self-centered. There's destruction. There's very absolute emotion. There's conflict. It's always that, you know, and it's always this duality that we see in a lot of different mythologies, both real and video game and nerd culture alike.
Suffice to say, though, these differences in like how the Aedra are interpreted, it does lead to some conflict, and we'll get into a little bit of that. But, you know, we kind of have an understanding of what the Aedra and Daedra are at this point, but how exactly do these different types of spirits and deities, how do they fit into the daily lives of the mortals in Tamriel?
Yeah, this is very interesting because, you know, you see the Aedra are more commonly referred to now and worshipped as the Nine Divines. This is, you know, known in the Imperial Pantheon. There are so many temples and churches all across Tamriel. Mm-hmm. And these are all divines that have some sort of domain. There's, I believe, fertility. There's one for like trade.
Yeah. Love, wisdom, justice, nature, all those things.
Heart.
Heart, earth, water, wind. Yeah. But no, that's true. Yeah. There is that is the Nine Divines, and that's the Imperial Pantheon. And yeah, they are kind of worshiped for different things. Like in Skyrim, you go to the Temple of Mara to get married, because Mara is the, kind of the divine who represents the, yeah, love and marriage and things like that. So that's the way the Imperials see it. And, you know, as their name implies, the Imperials kind of run the empire of Tamriel, because when the majority of the Elder Scrolls games take place, there is an empire that kind of unites all of Tamriel. And the human culture at the center of the empire is the Imperials, the humans. So as a result of the empire having influence over Tamriel, this Imperial Pantheon of the Nine Divines is kind of known and respected throughout all of the continent. So, but the thing is, though, even though pretty much every race on Tamriel sort of acknowledges the Nine Divines, like they know that they're there and that they know that they are worshipped, specific traditions and cultural beliefs, they vary. Like there's a lot of divergence there. So one example is that when the Empire was sort of rising in strength and sort of taking dominion over Tamriel, there were the Nords in Skyrim, another human culture, They had their own traditions, though. They stubbornly refused to revere the Imperial Pantheon for many centuries. The Empire came up into Skyrim, and they're like, hey, Nords, there's these gods that you should worship. And the Nords were like, no thanks, bro. Keep your pamphlets to yourself. Basically, the only divine that the Nords of Skyrim respected was Talos, but they called
him... The Almighty Talos.
Exactly. But in their sort of hemisphere, they called him Ismir. That's sort of how the Nords recognized him. Like, oh, you're talking about Talos? You mean Ismir? I love Ismir. I love that guy. So it's like, it's another cultural difference. And, eventually the Nords sort of adopted the rest of the Imperial Pantheon, but they had to be dragged kicking and screaming to that position. So these things can change over time, and they can be, as we touched on, a source of contention.
Oh, yeah. All right, we're going to keep this sermon going, but first a quick break. So again, the Daedra are a bit more, let's say, physical.
Yeah, they take the direct approach.
Yes, they tend to, take a small, I guess it would be just like a cult of followers.
Sure, yeah.
Where they kind of bring them in, tell them to just make packs, work with them, they get these cool gifts or Daedric artifacts. So here's some of my favorite ones. So there's one like, I'm going to butcher the name, Mehrunes?
Mehrunes Dagon.
Mehrunes Dagon.
That's right. The big bad of them all. Yeah, some Daedra are...
just having fun with it,
some aren't even having fun. They just want to drown themselves in blood. It's crazy. Like, we touched on this earlier, but yes, Daedra are individuals. Some, like you mentioned, Bruce, they just want to sort of... they're bored. They like toying with mortals and either just shooting the shit with them, just having conversations with them through their shrines, or making those Faustian deals and, deals with the devil, so to speak. And yeah, like you mentioned with Mehrunes Dagon, he in particular has just outright malicious intentions. He is basically the Daedric Prince of Destruction. That's his domain. So he just wants to see the mortal world burn and crumble. But then there are also some Daedra who are very benevolent. But these differences, the differences between Daedra are reflected in their followers. For example, Mehrunes Dagon has followers. They seek destruction. They want to enable him to destroy the world. There's another Daedric prince named Hermaeus Mora. He's sort of the representative of knowledge. There's a Daedric prince called Meridia, and she represents sort of life in some way, but in a weird abstract where her followers, they worship her by destroying the undead, battling the undead. So there are many ways that people worship the Daedra, and that is all reflected in sort of each individual Daedric prince's personality. And one thing we should make clear, we're saying Daedric princes a lot, but to be clear, prince is a very nebulous term because gender obviously doesn't really apply to Daedra. but yeah, suffice to say, Daedra are very interesting. They interact with the world way more directly than the Daedra tend to do. But yeah, the nine divines and the Daedric princes that have cult-like followings, they tend to be, I think you touched on this earlier, Bruce, they are sort of the mainstream of a religious belief in Tamriel, but they're not the extent of religious activity in Tamriel.
Yes. We have a number of different mythologies and religions, again, because the Empire spans very far into Tamriel, and it's kind of mixed in with a lot of the Myr populations. There's not really a lot of huge diversity once you get past the Adrian Daedra, but there are still some differences.
Right.
One in particular is the Dunmer, or Dark Elves, who completely follow their own different traditions in the form of what they would call a tribunal. And they very much are almost the antithesis of the High Elves, where they completely diverge from every part of their culture, and they just have their own little sect. There's not really anything that affects their mythology, and theirs don't affect the outside world.
Yeah, they're kind of insular. They're a bit isolated. And as a result of that, yeah, they've always been very, very independent. They completely went their own way. So, like, one way they did that, probably one of the biggest ways they did that was while humans, you know, particularly the Imperials, but also, you know, Red Guards, Bretons, Nords, but also all the Mer races, while they were all sort of hanging out with the Aedra and setting up the Nine Divines and that whole school of thought, you know, it was Aedra central over there. It was all about the Aedra, but the Dunmer, they, like we said, they went their own way. From sort of the beginning of their history, they have a really, really long tradition of ancestor worship. That's kind of, that was their main thing for a long time. They had Daedric worship as well. Like, they rejected this idea that the Aedra are the gods and they deserve your devotion. And instead, the Dunmer turned to various Daedric princes, mostly the nicer ones. I think like Azura. Azura is a big deal in Morrowind, the Dunmer home province. So yeah, some of the Daedric princes were very big focal points of Dunmer culture, but also ancestor worship. Just like my great, great, great grandpappy is my personal hero. I have a shrine to him in my house. I pray to him for guidance. That's sort of like the Dunmer religion. That was what their tradition was for a long time. Just Daedric worship and ancestor worship.
And I really like that. You can see that in the divergent of, you know, this belief in the Mer being the descendants of some of the gods that helped create Nirn, but in the same way that it's still, they're more rooted in their own, at least modern reality of just, I'm just worshiping my ancestors. Yeah. You could say the same if you were a high elf saying that you were worshiping the Nine Divines. Oh, those are my ancestors.
Yeah, it's a matter of perspective.
But it's more connected to saying like these, like literally I have like a name to right. go with this ancestor. So as they have just kind of diverted away from at least the traditional forms of worship, they do have, as they explain, the tribunal.
Yeah, the Dunmer sort of over time transitioned away from Daedra worship and ancestor worship a little bit when what's called the tribunal formed, because the tribunal were three people, Almalexia, Vivek, and Sotha Sil. They were all Dunmer people who, it's a long story. They ascended to basically godhood, though. I think they had interacted with the Heart of Lorcan. We mentioned that earlier. And they basically became the patron deities of the Dunmer people. So, like, the tribunal was this new thing. It was just, we have living gods now. We can literally go and meet them in their palace. They're not just an abstract or a concept. And that was their new thing. So, you know, we can tell here, the Dunmer, they changed their traditions, or they diverge from the, you know, typical Aedra and Daedra worship a lot. That's kind of their thing.
What is even more fascinating here is not just that they broke away from their own people's tradition, embraced their own. In their new mythology, they have these stories where their people, their ancestors, follow a new set of gods who have renewed themselves with the powers of the old god to create new, you know, heights and tiers of gods.
Wow.
In so many ways, that reflects who they are as a people. They are both independent and are so far from the traditions of the old world.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. That tells you a little bit about like how paradoxical the Dunmer can be. They're fiercely independent people, but they also cling to traditions pretty strongly until those traditions don't serve them anymore. It's crazy how adaptable they are in a way.
Yeah, they're very practical in a lot of different senses.
Yeah, but we're gonna move along here to kind of our final example of the divergent belief systems that emerge from the common myths of the Aedra and Daedra. So kind of along the same vein as how the Dunmer worshipped their tribunal as living gods, the Imperials, they had a similar religious institution in the form of Talos. We mentioned him earlier. Talos was the favorite Aedra of the Nords for a long time.
Yes. He goes by a different name, though. But the Imperial humans know Talos as Tiber Septim.
That was his original name. Tiber Septim, when he was a mortal man, back when he was back in his mortal life, yeah, he was the first emperor to rule over a unified Tamriel. And yeah, you spend his coins now. That'll be five septims for that information. But yeah, the empire he founded is the empire that we now know and love as, you know, the setting for most of these games. But that's what he did in life. It's kind of unclear what exactly happened after he died. The beliefs are a little scattered. No one's really quite clear on that, but you might hear sometimes in some of the games that the nine divines are occasionally referred to as the 8+1, because Talos was the ninth divine. He was the sort of last one to ascend, and he joined the eight other Aedra. So that was like how the Imperial Pantheon became complete. But, not everyone was happy about the idea of a mortal man becoming a god, were they?
Yeah, you can take your pick on who might be super, super pissed about that.
You got three guesses.
Is it the Dunmer? No, they don't give a shit.
They don't care.
Time's up. It is the High Elves.
Yeah.
The ones who thought they were descended from gods.
The Aldmeri Dominion flipped their shit over this.
They're like, this dirty, hairless ape is a god? No. No, thank you. I don't think that's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. You actually see that play out, especially in Skyrim. That's kind of when that whole thing takes place, because on the old Elder Scrolls timeline, Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim takes place kind of further along. It takes place like 100 or so years after Oblivion, so there's a bit of a time skip. And in that time, the Aldmeri Dominion becomes this superpower, basically. The High Elves become a very dominant presence in Tamriel. And there's this war with the Empire. There's the Imperials versus the Aldmer, basically. And it's bloody, it's pricey, but there's a truce that is signed. And one of the prices of that truce is the Aldmeri Dominion say, we're going to call a truce here. We'll end this war, but you have to outlaw the worship of Talos. You have to basically, what's the word? Disavow him as a god, which is nuts.
Yeah, disavow, excommunicate. Yeah. And it was a very contentious thing.
Huge. Yeah, big time.
And as we said before, the Nords kind of already had Talos, it, just in a different name and in a different sense. And they were just like, fuck you. That's not happening. I'm here for my boy Talos.
Yeah.
And it really created such a schism on top of a bunch of different socioeconomic factors. There's a lot, again, in play there.
Right.
But most of it was because of this huge religious schism that the Imperials had to follow.
Yeah.
They weren't just like, oh, yeah, cool. I fucking hate that guy. Like,
right.
No, they cared about him too. But the fact of the matter was, this was to create peace.
Yeah, the hands of the Empire were kind of tied. It was like, either we go along with this Talos worship ban, or we go back to war and we probably lose. It's just amazing to me that in this way, even like the basic classification of what constitutes an Aedra, you know, which are these higher beings, these primordial spirits that both the humans and the elves of Tamriel have worshipped for freaking ever, for thousands of years, for eons. You know, it's like, I thought we agreed on this. I thought there was an understanding of what the Aedra were all about, and that, you know, there was this one misunderstanding. Like, the men thought, the Imperials, the men folk, they think, oh, Talos can become one of the Aedra, right? And the elves are like, what the fuck are you smoking? No, he can't. And then suddenly heads are rolling over this. It's like, I think at the beginning we touched on how closely so many aspects of Elder Scrolls lore can mirror real life. And it's a sad truth that simple religious misunderstandings or just disagreements like this can lead to war and conflict and strife, just like in real life. It happens in these crazy out of this world video game setting. It's wild.
Yeah. And I guess what I do enjoy about this kind of very diverse mythological religious pantheon is just how much more lived in this world feels.
There's a history to it.
Knowing about this. There's a history to it. There's so many different opinions and viewpoints of things that, as we can see, like, are very much fact.
Right.
And I do wonder, like, even if in our world, Jesus were to come down and say, like, I am the Son of God, you know, how many people do you think are just going to be like, oh, well, I'm Christian now? I don't think a lot would be. And I think that's the most interesting takeaway I found from all of Tamriel's, like, religious stuff, is you could literally have your deity appear before, you know, hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
Artifacts truly working because they are powered by that deity. And there's still going to be people who are like, I have my own way.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes Tamriel so fascinating and interesting is its diversity and its conflict.
Yeah.
And those both kind of work in tandem with each other, a very yin and yang kind of thing, where because it's so diverse and there's so many different ideas and so many different perspectives and so many different people from different origins and different walks of life and cultures, that they have a very difficult time working together with the same ideas.
Yeah.
They are different people and they all have different religions, even if it's the same with Aedra and Daedra.
Man, that, yeah, I think you summed up like our primary idea here really well. The only thing I'll add is that I feel the same way, in the sense that the world of Elder Scrolls in terms of religion, like we talked about here, is that there's this common understanding of the Aedra and Daedra exist because we can literally go to their shrines and whatnot and interact with them in some way. But what you see in Elder Scrolls is like, it's more of, yeah, I acknowledge that those things exist and that these Aedra and Daedra are out there, but I choose not to put my faith explicitly in them. There's a difference there, because like, if I think with your Jesus analogy, if literally Jesus came to Earth right now and like just revealed himself empirically to the world, you'd have people who could no longer, in good faith, pardon the pun, who could no longer like honestly call themselves atheists because they suddenly have empirical evidence of a higher power. That doesn't mean they suddenly become Christian. That just means like, that could mean, oh, well, that guy's there, but that doesn't mean he's like my personal savior or anything. I'm still going to just live my life the way I was. That's kind of what the Dunmer did, I guess. It's like, and yes, it's almost like what the Imperials did too. Like, yeah, those other Aedra are great, but you know who's really great? The ninth Aedra, the ninth divine, Talos. He's my favorite. Like, it's just, it's kind of like putting your own spin on things that already exist. And there's, you know, like I've dipped into a little bit, there's this whole discussion over belief versus knowledge. Like, you kind of know that thing's there rather than just believing in it. And then there's like that separate concept of worship. You know, it's like, do you believe in it? Do you know it's there? Do you worship it? Those are all three separate concepts.
Right. Spirituality versus organized religion.
Right. But yeah, like that's what made me so fascinated with this core concept of the cultures of Tamriel kind of experiencing the same thing, the Aedra and Daedra, but interpreting them so differently. Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. Be sure to connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at lore_party. And check out our YouTube page for bonus videos and highlights. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.